Isn't the Lord good? I tell you, what a glorious day this has been. We thank you for being here. This is a good Saturday night crowd. It really is. You didn't have to come. If we was under law, you'd come or we'd kill you. But under grace, you don't ever have to come and still be saved. I'm honored when anybody comes. Amen. Years ago, I used to, if I didn't have a large crowd, I got upset. But I've learned a long time ago, the ones that's there is the one the Lord wants there. Whether it be 10 or 10,000. Amen. Now, he's asked me to sing again. I'm not going to put you all through that again tonight. So I'll tell you what, I've got a singing tape out there. I'll give it to you. It's got 10 songs on it. So that way you get 10 instead of 1, amen? I won't have to put these folks through that torment again. So I think that'd be better than trying to put you through that. My laundry keeps drawing my shirts up. You ever have that problem? I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I guess just talk to them about it, amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Tell you, this has been a sweet time, sweet revival. Every night, God's been good to us. We thank Him. Boy, I love to hear those pages. My goodness, hear them turning. How many's got your Bible? Hold your Bible up. My goodness, this must be a Bible-believing church. Amen. King James, amen. I like that. Boy, hearing those pages turn. Could you hear that? Oh, that's wonderful. Always carry your Bible. I mean, you know, a preacher get up here and preach out of a funny book, and you wouldn't know the difference if you don't have your Bible. Oh, always carry your Bible. Hide it in your heart, amen? You ought to hide it in your heart. If the communist ever takes this country over, you better know it. You better know it, amen? Bible says it's a light under your feet. It's a road map. Tells us where we come from, where we are, and where we're going. Always carry it in your heart, and not just in your hand. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we're thankful tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we're gathered here again tonight. Lord, you've been good every night, but that's all history now. We can't live on that. We can rejoice on it, but we got to have a blessing tonight, Lord. And I pray that you'll come down again tonight, Lord, and hover over this crowd. And Lord God, I pray for the message and the messenger. And may this be your message. And Lord, take these lips of clay and may they be anointed of thee. And may I say what you want me to say and when you want me to say it. And dear Lord Jesus, may the same sweet Holy Spirit that saves and seals, convict and convert and bless tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do and what you've already done in your precious and wonderful and glorious and holy and righteous name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, reading in verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." I want to get my message tonight out of verse 42 on five words. What think ye of Christ? What does Christ really mean to you tonight? It breaks my heart when I see how he's treated today. We treat him like a spare tire in an automobile. We call on him when we need him. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you looked in your trunk and checked the spare tire to see if the air was up in it, I doubt if I'd get a hand tonight. We just take it for granted it's ready for use. That's the way the Lord's treated today. We treat him like a spare tire in an automobile or a floor mat. We call on him when we need him, and that's about it. What does Christ really mean to you on Sunday? Everybody loves him on Sunday. What do you think of him on Monday and Tuesday? And a few people love him on Wednesday. What about, what do you think of him on Thursday? Friday, Saturday. What does Christ really mean to you tonight? I hope before I'm through tonight, now some of you may shout. Now you'll scare Jesus, but go ahead anyway. Amen. Now don't turn there, but write these down. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 through 6. The Bible says he's worthy of more glory than Moses. Greatest pastor other than the Lord, yet the Bible says the Lord ought to receive more honor and more glory than Moses. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, 38 says you ought to love him more than your own flesh and blood. You ought to love him more than your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father. You ought to love him more than your own flesh and blood. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist, the beloved one, looked up and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world." You know what John the Baptist said about Jesus? "I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to reach down and loose the shoestrings of the Son of God." Matthew chapter 12, verse 41 and 42, I believe it is, the Bible says, greater than Jonah and Solomon is he. Let me say tonight, ladies and gentlemen, nobody can equal the Son of God. He stands alone tonight. What do you think of him tonight, folks? Is he just a fly by night that we worship on Sunday? We got so-called Christians that the only time you see them is Sunday morning. We got some, the only time you see them is Easter and Christmas. Claim to be a Christian. The coming Lord not going to all be joy for the Christian. No, sir. There's going to be some sadness going on because of the way we treated him. Before we're through tonight, I hope he'll mean more to you, amen? Number one, there's never been a man born like Jesus was born. Never been a man born like he was born that day in the council hall of eternity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And God said, "I need somebody to go down and be conceived of the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin." Jesus was conceived and born of a virgin. Had no earthly father. No man's ever been born like he was born. What do you think of him tonight, folks? No man ever born like he was born. No man ever lived like he lived. Not one time did he ever sin. Not one time did he ever compromise. Even though he was without sin, he mingled among sinners. But not one time did he ever sin. Not one time did he ever compromise. No man has ever lived like he's lived. What do you think of him? No man ever worked like him or had power like him. No man ever worked like him or had power like him. Blind man walking down that old dirt road in John chapter 9. Jesus walking down that road and he met that man. And he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed that and put it in his eyes and said, "Go yonder and wash in the pool of Siloam." And he did. He's over there, I can see him now, can't you? Throwing that water up in his eyes. And all at once, he got 20/20 vision. No man got power like that or worked like that. John chapter 5, here's a man for 38 years, bedfast. 38 years, and every year God had troubled the water at the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible said the first one to step in that pool was to be made whole. One day that old boy was lying on his bed and Jesus walked by and looked at him. And you read it in John 5, said he looked at him, he could tell he'd been that way a long time. "Hey boy, pick up your bed and go home." Huh? I don't believe he jumped up and said, thank you, Jesus. I don't believe that. No, sir, I believe he was shouting bad. I believe he jumped up shouting through that bed on his back and run down that road. Amen. Man, nobody got that kind of power except Jesus. Go to Mark chapter 5. Here's a woman. I can see now when she heard the crowd, can't you? I can see when she heard the crowd. She began to reach out. Oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Jesus had such passion, he turned around and said, woman, go home, your faith has made you whole. Nobody got that kind of power except Jesus. What do you think of him? Matthew chapter 14. I can see now when Jesus standing over yonder on the bank and Peter looked out across the stormy sea and he looked at him and thought it was a spirit, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, it is I. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come on, boy. And he stepped out and started walking on the water, and Jesus walking on the water. And they began to walk, and the Bible said the wind was boisterous, it was storming. And Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth and brought him out. No man got that kind of power except Jesus. Did you notice when he took his eyes off of him? While he was in a storm. That's when you ought to keep your eyes on him. And a lot of time when trouble comes, instead of us trusting him, we take our eyes off of him when we ought to keep our eyes on him. And the Bible said that the wind was boisterous, it was storming, and Peter began to doubt, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. No man's got power like that. No man's got that kind of power except Jesus. And then no man ever taught like him. Number four, no man ever taught like Jesus taught. 12 years old, never been to Bible school, never been to public school, never been on a train, never been on a plane, never 200 miles from home, and yet he shook the universe. Never been to Bible school. Man, he didn't even go to Midwestern. He didn't go to Tennessee Temple. He didn't go to BJ. He didn't even go to Bible school. He didn't go to public school. Can you all hear me all right? Never been on a train or a plane. Never 200 miles from home. And yet the Bible said that he shook the universe. He hung the stars and the moon. No man has ever taught like he's taught. What do you think of him tonight? What do you think? Joseph. Mary was on a journey, supposing Jesus was with them. They turn and look back, and the child Jesus wasn't with them. You know the story. They said they begin to worry. And they turned and went back looking for the child Jesus. And they found him. How many knows where they found him? How many knows where they found him? They found him in the temple, asking and answering questions to doctors. Not a bunch of hillbillies like me, doctors. 12 years old, asking and answering questions from doctors. Think about it. Never. He didn't even have a doctor's degree. How in the world did he make it? I got so many degrees and don't even have a nurse. He didn't even have a doctor's degree. How did he? Dr. Jesus. He didn't even have a doctor's degree. How in the world did he make it through life? I got a degree from about every fundamental college in America. Jesus didn't have a doctor's degree. 12 years old. Can you imagine? Are there any 12-year-old boys here? Hold your hand up, boy. Come up here, son. A I'll give you permission to run one time, church. Run right up here. Amen. Amen. Get right here. Right there. Move over another inch. Right there. You're how old, 12? You married? You want to get married?
I don't know.
Let's pray about it. Amen. I want you to look. Now, he's maybe a little bit tall for 12 years old, but Jesus wasn't a big man. Jesus wasn't a small man, just an ordinary size. And I want you to look at Jesus at 12 years old. And I want you to step right up here. I want you to ask him any question you want to. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Ask him any question, and before you ever get it out, he'll answer it. Jesus, what do you think about? I'll answer that, sir. Jesus, what do you think? I'll answer that, sir. Thank you, preacher. You know what they said about Jesus? Now listen to me. I'm talking about a 12-year-old boy. You know what those doctors said about Jesus? Huh? They said they were astonished. They were astonished and amazed that a 12-year-old boy could have such wisdom. You say, oh, he was just another child. No, he wasn't just another child. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He will always be the Son of God. What do you think of him tonight, folks? No man ever taught like he taught. No man ever died like he died. He didn't die for himself. He died for others. He didn't die for himself. He died for others. Let me tell you tonight, I can knock the colts in the head in about 1 minute. You ask some Mormons who Mr. Smith died for, the founder of Mormonism. I don't know. You ask a Jehovah's Witness who Mr. Russell died for. I don't know. You ask a Buddhist who Buddha died for. I don't know. You ask a child of God, who did Jesus die for? And they'll say, he died for me. No man ever died for his following except Jesus. What do you think of him tonight? You say, well, I know a leader that died for his following, but he didn't come out of the grave for him. You give me 10 minutes with a cult. That's all I need. I throw a lot of them in cults that some of you don't throw in cults. Anybody believes that salvation's any other way than the way this book teaches to me, they're a cult. Thank you. Amen? Listen to me. He died that day on Calvary. He died in your place and mine and paid your sin debt. He didn't die for himself. He died for you. Paid your sin debt. No man's ever been saved under the law. If so, there'd be two plans of salvation. I'll prove it to you in 2 minutes. In the Old Testament, you find in the book of Exodus, another part, when they'd bring a blood sacrifice. They'd bring a pigeon or a dove or a bull or something, and God would say, bring another. They'd bring another, and they'd say, bring another, bring another, bring another, bring another, bring another. But one day, Jesus walked up Golgotha's hill and laid his life down and shed his precious blood, and God said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Don't bring any more. That's enough. Ephesians chapter 4 went down to paradise and said, come on home, boys. Your debt's been paid. All paid in full. For you and for me. Be just like the preacher's wife goes to the grocery store, gets her checkbook out to fill out the check for the groceries. $300. If you'd have seen him eat today, you'd have said, praise God, amen. Ooh, Lord, he embarrassed me. And she gets the checkbook out, and the cashier said, it's paid for. No, I got to write a check. No, it's paid for. But she says, I don't understand that. Who paid for it? The lady standing over there left a blank check with her signature on it and said, oh, you get all you want and just fill it out. And the pastor's wife said, I don't understand. Why? Why did she do that? I don't know. All I know is she just said she loved you. That's all I know. But she says, I don't even know that lady. I don't even know her. And 2,000 years ago, I didn't even know Jesus. And you didn't know Jesus. But he left a blank check. And he said, when you get sick of your sin, he said, fill it out, fill it out, fill it out. And bless God, I filled it out. Carl Hatch, no good, hell-deserving sinner, receive you as Lord and Savior. Signed, Jesus, precious blood, in full. No man's ever died like him. No man's ever buried like him. When he was born, he was put in a borrowed stable. When he was buried, he was put in a borrowed grave. That grave wasn't for Jesus. He was put in a borrowed grave. He prophesied, listen to me, he prophesied before the foundation of the world. He prophesied he would be conceived of the Holy Ghost. He prophesied he'd be born of a virgin. He prophesied he would die. He prophesied he'd come out of the grave. And bless God, he did come out. And he prophesied he'd coming again and put her down. Bless God, he is a coming like he said he would. Let me tell you here tonight, he didn't come out in 71 hours. And in 35 seconds, he came out in 72 hours like he said he would. He left heaven on time. He died on time. He was buried on time. He rose on time. And he's coming back on time. I don't know how he could have been a Baptist. He did everything on time. Never late on anything. I can see him now. He said, I'm coming out of the grave. And when he died and they buried him, you know the story. Because he had prophesied he's coming out, they put a stone against the grave and placed soldiers on both sides. Now I can see him standing guard, can't you? People came by and they're standing there. What are you doing? Guarding that dead man. Went home, the wife said, what'd you do today, honey? We guarded the dead man. You're kidding. What's our government coming to? Next day, they're standing out there. People came by and said, what are you doing today? We're still guarding that dead man. Went home, the wife, what'd you do today, honey? We guarded that dead man again. Third day, the increase of guards and people came by and said, what are you doing? Still guarding that dead man. Said he's coming out today. He ain't going to make it. We've increased the guards. Went home, the wives, honey, what'd you do today? Oh, we guarded that dead man again. Said he's coming out. He ain't going to make it. We got the stone against there. We've increased the guards. He can't possibly come out like he said he would. He said he would, but he's a fanatic. He's a lot of gossip. But listen to me. God sent the angel down. God sent the angel down, and the storm began to rage, and the thunder, and the lightning, and the soldiers fell as dead men, and the stone was rolled away. He come out in 72 hours, just like he said he would come out of there. And put her down, he's a coming back on time. Like the pastor said tonight, you're not going to stop it. You can live like the devil, but you ain't going to stop his return. No man ever died like him. No man ever buried like him. No man will ever come back like him. But I'm going to come back with him on a white horse. Won't that be a day? Man, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. I've never been on a horse without being thrown or fall off. I was in High Street in Springfield. Dr. Cavan and I went out, and Brother Smith, the song leader, went out to one of the members. Had some beautiful horses. And they kept saying, they was riding, Brother Cavan and Brother Smith. Come on, Carl. I'm not going to ride that horse. I know why I'm Texas and wear cowboy boots. But I ain't going to ride that horse. Oh, come on. I'm not going to do it. Man, years ago I was pastor and gave away a little pony. Wasn't that big. Everybody kept begging me to get on that little old pony. I'm not exaggerating. My feet would drag the ground, and they kept on. I finally got on that little pony. Wasn't on 5 minutes and fell off. They kept begging me to get on, begging me to get on. And finally I said, I'm not going to do it. If you don't, I'm going to go back to church tonight and tell 3,000 people, you're the biggest chicken I ever seen. Tell them anything you want to. I'm not getting on that horse. And finally, they kept on. I said, okay. And I got on that horse. And ever who tightened that saddle, that thing you tighten it with, what do you call it? Cinch. It wasn't no cinch. Bless God, I'll guarantee it wasn't that. I got on it. Ever who tightened it didn't tighten it. I'd gone around that pen about 3 times. I felt like Roy Rogers. And all at once, me and that saddle begin to go like this, and I'm underneath the belly of that mare, and I'm hollering, help! 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 I was afraid to turn loose that mare and walk on me. I know there won't be any deaths in heaven, but I've already asked the Lord if he'll get me an old gray mule that's near death to ride back. And he's already approved that, amen? No man ever died like him. No man ever buried like him. And no man will ever come back like him. What do you think of him tonight? What does Christ mean to you? Oh, I never go out soul winning. What do you think of Christ? I don't even tithe. I'm a thief. What do you think of Christ? We never have a family altar in the home. Our children don't even know we can read the Bible. They don't even know we can pray. I'm not talking about us. Let me tell you something. In the many, many years I've been in evangelistic work, we've always had a family altar. When all my kids were home, we had 6 telephones. And I'd call home at a certain time, all the kids get on the phone. And we'd read the scriptures together and pray together. And even today with just mom and the boy, I've never had a phone bill. I have never had a phone bill under $800 a month. Under $800 a month. These evangelists come up and say, oh, I've been on the road for 3 months. I wouldn't tell it. Bless God, I wouldn't tell it. Longest this man's ever on the road is 2 weeks. And if I'm going long enough, she gets her plane ticket and flies where I'm at. Thank you. Been on the road for 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months without seeing your wife. I wouldn't tell that, man. I tell these evangelists, when they tell me that, I tell them, you're a backslider. You ought to get right with God, man. Stay away from your wife for 3 months. You got to need to get your head screwed on right. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Never have family altar. Don't bow your head. Not ready to pray. Don't lift your hand. But how many of you, sometime during the day, you set your children down and you read the Bible together and you pray together? We don't do that. What do you think of Christ? One day when that boy comes home and says, Daddy, I'm hitting the pill, then don't get mad at him. You mamas listen to me. One day when that daughter comes home and says, Mama, I'm 6 months. Look back and see how long it's been since you prayed with her and read the Bible with her. What do you think of him tonight, folks? You know what we need tonight, Brother Saint? You know what we need? We need a baptism of rededication the way we've been treating Jesus. Treat him like a spectator in an automobile. What do you think of Christ tonight? I just wrote down a few things. I'll run through them briefly. What Christ means to me. In bondage, he was my deliverer. I was bound in sin. I'd tried everything. I'd tried hospitals. I'd tried jailhouses. I'd tried penitentiary. I'd tried everything. Sin had a hold on my life. But that morning when I cried out and I said, Lord, if you did save me, bless God, I was set free and free indeed. When I was in bondage, he was my deliverer. Let me tell you something tonight. I never was free. If you've ever been in jail, if you've ever been in the penitentiary, watch your record goes with you. Every time you go to get a job, they look at that record. When I got out and got $25 and a suit of clothes, and they said, you're free. You're free. I thought I was free. I wasn't free. I wasn't free. Everywhere I went, my record went with me. But let me tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that morning about 4 o'clock, when I cried out and said, Lord, Lord, if you just save this old boy, I was set free and free indeed. And my whole record is under the blood tonight. Never to be remembered against me anymore. I'm free. Free indeed. Phew. Glory to God. I ought to make a Baptist shout. I was in a camp meeting in Florida, and I was preaching a message. And that old country preacher, more country than I am, he didn't say hallelujah. He said hallelujah. Boy, he come running down that aisle shouting hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I left that platform and I got down there with him. I lost what little bit of dignity I had. I got down there. I said, well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It wouldn't hurt some of you to lose a little bit of your dignity and every once in a while just cry out and say, hallelujah. I'm free. And free indeed. In bondage, my deliverer. In doubt, he's my assurance. In sickness, my physician. In fear, discouragement, and death, he's my comforter. There's no comfort in the church. There's no comfort in the pastor. There's no comfort in the evangelist. But there's comfort in the comforter. How many times, Pastor, have you gone to visit someone that's lost a loved one, a mother, father, son, or daughter, or baby, and you go to them, and you go there and you brag, say, man, our church, we got a great church, and you ought to come and visit our church. Oh, people love you. There's no comfort. You say, well, I love you. I'm the pastor, and I love. There's no comfort. But when you say, let's bow our heads and hold their hand and let's pray, and you look up and you say, oh, Lord, Lord, if you'll seal and heal the broken wound, and where their darkness put light, and where their sorrow put joy, and they'll look up and the tears run down their face, and they'll say, thank you, Pastor. No comfort except in the comforter. Luther Bridges, a great evangelist, was in Georgia preaching. They slipped him a telegram, and he opened it up and read it. He said, "Your wife and family have been snuffed out in a fire. Hurry home." Luther Bridges finished that night with an empty heart, and he went back home. And all that was left of his family was ashes, and he began to kick the ashes and looked up, the tears running down his face. And he wrote one of the most beautiful songs that's in your songbook. I was looking at it last night. And he looked up and began to write one of the most beautiful songs. "Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, filled my ever longing, keeps me singing as I go. Nobody can write that kind of song unless God be in them, and God be on them, and God be with them." When they looked at Abraham, they looked at him, they said, "Man, God's in him, God's on him, and God's with him." Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my ever longing, keeps me singing as I go. In fear, discouragement, and death, he's my comforter. In need, he's my supplier. In conflict, he's my captain. He's never lost a battle and never will. Never lost a battle and never will. Here not long ago, I gave a fellow a tract. Great big man. He was huge. I gave him a tract and he just wadded it up, threw it down. I said, "Sir, come here. Did you know that costs money?" "Well, so what?" I said, "Why wasn't you man enough to just give it back to me and tell me you wanted to go to hell? You're not even a man. You ought to put a miniskirt on." I'll tell you one thing, as big as you are, you'll make a lot of lard in hell. There'll be a greasy spot where you stand. You talk like that, go visit with me and see for that. Amen? I mean, some of you men, before you got saved, you'd fight a circle saw. Since you've been saved, you ought to put a miniskirt on. That don't mean you ought to fight, but you ought to stand up for what's right. I don't let people cuss in the presence of my wife. If you do, you're sorry. My wife and I went out one night for supper. She calls it dinner. She's a hillbilly trying to become a Yankee. She said a lot of times, "Let's go out for dinner." "I ain't going out for dinner with you. I'll go out for supper. I'll go have supper with you. I ain't going to go have dinner. I eat dinner at 12. I'll eat supper with you tonight." Amen. So I took her out for supper. Three women. Notice I didn't say ladies. Three women sitting over there sucking on cancer sticks and cursing God. I finally went over there and told them, I said, "I appreciate if you women hold it down. I have a lady with me." Amen. Listen, my wife looks like a lady, acts like a lady, dresses like a lady, and she is a lady. I don't let anybody cuss in her presence. I can't whip them, I'll take my teeth out and gum them to death. He said, "I don't believe in that. I don't believe in hell." You don't believe in hell? "I don't believe none of that." I said, "Your name's in the Bible. What are you talking about? It says in Psalm, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Hello, fool. Amen. I said, "All right, look, I believe there's a literal hell, and I believe there's a glorious heaven, and you don't believe it, but I do." He said, "That's right." I said, "Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to go your route. I'm going to believe like you do. I'm going to go your route, and I'm going to say there's no hell and no heaven. And one day when the judgment day comes, we find out there is no hell and there is no heaven. You haven't lost a thing, have you?" He said, "That's right." I said, "Neither have I. wait a minute, let's turn it around. The judgment day comes and we find out there is a literal hell and a glorious heaven. Now who's a loser? What I'm trying to tell you folks tonight, if you're a born-again, blood-bought child of God, you own the winning team.
Amen.
You can't lose. In conflict, he's my captain. In death, he is my resurrection. Amen. Because he has risen, I shall also. Won't that be a day? It said, the Bible said, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and you and I, the remains, shall be called up to meet him in the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Bless God, what a day that's going to be on that resurrection day. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more problems. There'll be no more disappointments. Bless God, it'll all be over. What a day that's going to be. I'm talking about heaven. How you know there's a heaven? I'm like the little boy flying the kite. Man walked up and said, how do you know? He said, what are you doing? I'm flying a kite. Where's that? Right up there. How you know it's up there? You can't see it. He said, I know it's up there. I can feel a tug. I know heaven's real. I can feel a tug. And I want to tell you something. I'm not getting ready to go. I plan on staying a long time unless the Lord comes. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. The older you get, the sweeter it sounds. Anybody here 75? 70? How many 70-year-olds here? Don't be ashamed of your age. Amen. You and I are knocking on the door. Don't heaven sound sweeter than it used to? Don't it? How old are you? 70. Man, you don't look over 100. No, you look good. You look good for 70. You really do. You look good for 70. Don't heaven sound sweeter than it used to? Heaven sounding sweeter every day. Because he's risen, I shall also. Amen. Brother Ed the Nant, he ever get here? Has he ever been here? Has he? Great man. Call all of men. Talk to them. Kind of left with them. I'm getting ready to go now. I want all of you just go on, carry right on. Carry right on. Few days, he's gone. My mom was in the hospital and they started to give her a drink of water. She said, get back, get back, get back. I want that water. I'm getting ready to go see Jesus. Take that water back. I'm going home. She went home. Old preacher friend of mine, Portland, Oregon. He and his wife, bless his dear heart, pastored a great church for 35 years. Come out of the assembly, he built Assembly of God, over 5,000 Assembly of God church. Got his eyes open, reading the scriptures. And went in Independent Baptist and was Independent Baptist for 35 years. And I was with him every year. He'd always read his Bible at night in bed, he and his dear wife, and he'd lay his Bible on his chest to go to sleep. And I'd been with him a number of times, and he told his wife at night, said, honey, this fake Brother Hatch is going to be with us about 3 months. We're going to have a time. Built that great independent church. He said, Brother Hatch is going to be with us. We love Brother Hatch. I may have a lot of enemies, but I got a lot of friends too. I got some people love me. Bought his secretary, been his secretary 35 years. Bought her flowers that day and said, y'all have a good revival now. Brother Hatch will be here. that night when he read his Bible and said, "Honey, Brother Hatch will be here. We're going to have another great meeting. Y'all pray for him." Laid his Bible on his chest. The next morning, when she awoke, and excused, "I don't want to make you sick," but his tongue was hanging out of his mouth, and she just pushed it back in, kissed him, said, "You're home, aren't you?" Called the doctor, and the doctor came out. He didn't call it this, but it's what we call it. Said, "Your husband's dead." She said, "No, no, he's not dead. He just began to live." She called me, and I wasn't home. I was on the road until said, "Miss Hatch said, tell Brother Hatch that his preacher's gone on. This morning when I woke, I kissed him goodbye and said, I want to call Brother Hatch and tell him." She called me on the road. If I'm within 300 miles, that preacher friend of mine in Jackson, Michigan, Charles Berry, Dallas Berry, Charles took the church, Dallas, cancer hit him, he went down to skin and bones. Great church in Jackson, Michigan, built it from ground, from zero, running over 1,000 Sunday school. And I was there, and we gathered around the bed, and Dallas was dying, and we could tell that. We gathered around the bed. His brothers were pastors, and his father was a pastor, and his brother-in-law's pastors, and I was associate to one. We gathered around the bed, and I'm standing down at the foot, and old Dallas looked down to the bed and said, "Carl, can you hear him?" "I can hear him, Dallas." "Carl, can you hear him?" "I can hear him, Dallas." "Listen to him sing, Carl. Listen to him sing." And old Dallas held them little bony hands up, not big as anything, and he held them up and he began to sing. "It will be worth it all when we see life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase." The second day, pastor, just above a whisper. And the third day, he tried to sing, and he held them little bony hands up, and he tried to sing. He'd say, "It will be worth it." Whispered. Everybody prayed. He said, "Papa, pray." Papa prayed. He said, "Papa, let me pray." Old Dallas held that little bony hand. Couldn't hold them both. He held that little bony hand up. He said, "Lord, I'm so tired. And I want to come home. I'm so tired. I want to come home." He went home. Folk, this don't mean nothing to you, man. You done lost everything. You ain't got much. I'm not talking about Tennessee. I'm not talking about Georgia. I'm not talking about Dallas, Texas. I'm talking about heaven. Hallelujah. What a day. Glorious day. Let me give you another. I'll quit. But I could stand here for hours and give you testimonies. Man, if you don't believe this is real, you done gone. Won't you be glad when you can throw that thing away? I'll be so glad to get rid of these. Sears teeth. Some of y'all get a head of hair. Won't that be a blessing? Amen. Song leader, Brother Gary, won't that be a blessing? Man, you can wave it. You can get you a permanent. Well, that'd be a day, wouldn't it? I was in San Diego, Lighthouse Baptist Church. Been going there for many, many years. And this dear old saint of God, the same age of my mama. And I was out there a few years ago, and mama was in a wheelchair. I called her mama all the time. She looked just like my mama. Did you know when people get so old, they all favor? That's the truth. You take some of these old, dear old saints that roll their hair in a knot like my mama. She rolled her hair in a knot. Never could figure out how she done it. She'd roll it up in a knot in the back of her hair. My mama's hair was way down there. Never cut her hair one time. Never had a haircut one time. And mama never did. Which mama died at 97. Well, they viewed her on her 98th birthday. Mama never had on a pair of blue jeans. She may not even be saved. I better get off that. My wife never wore any because we was raised the old-fashioned way. Amen. See, she never had a pair on before we were saved. Thank you. I love you. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. And I always called her mama. And I was out there in a meeting. She's in a wheelchair. She'd fallen. She's there every night. And I had to autograph her Bible every time I was out there. My name must have been in her Bible 50, 100 times. She'd say, "Son, I want you to autograph my Bible." I'd say, "Mom, I done autographed. I know it, but I want it in there again." Every year. Had to autograph it sometime twice a week. I got a dear old saint of God in Ohio. She's up close to 90. And she gets up in the morning, eats breakfast, and goes in the bedroom and prays till noon. My name is in the top of her list, in the middle and the bottom. And she goes in there and prays till noon. Then she comes out and eats her dinner, goes back in and prays till supper time. And then she goes back in and prays to bedtime. She lives in the bedroom on her knees. Thank you. Praise for Brother Hatch. I got over 300,000 people pray for me every day. I've got 5 safety boxes filled with names of people that pray for Brother Hatch every day. I better walk right. I don't have any respect for these people who go along here and fall. I won't get on that. She's there in that wheelchair. And at last, I closed out on Sunday morning, and I said, "Mama, I'll see you." And she said, "No, son, I'm not going to see you anymore." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to see you." And she said, "No, I'm going home this afternoon." I said, "You're going home?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm going home." I said, "You going to see your children?" She said, "No, I'm going home." I asked the Lord, "Let me live long enough to hear my boy preach one more time." And I've heard you 4 nights. I've heard you 4 nights. And I'm going home this afternoon. I'm not even going to be here for church. I said, "You're going to be here for church?" She said, "No, I'm going home. I'm not even going to be here for church." I was starting a meeting in West Palm. And I got in my motel room. And I was sitting there. And the phone rang at about 10 minutes to 5. And the phone rang. And the pastor said, "Brother Hatch," said, "Mama just went home about 2 minutes ago." "Last thing she said was, 'Call my preacher, call my preacher, and tell him I'm going to see Jesus.'" "Because he's risen, I shall also." What do you think of him tonight? What do you think of him? I've tried my best to lift up Jesus today. You men ought to be man enough to get a hold of your wife's hand and your children's hand and come to this altar and say, Lord, we haven't been treating you right. We need a baptism of rededication of what we think of Christ. And sir, let me say to you, ma'am, whoever you are, if you're here tonight and you've never been born again and you walk out that door tonight after hearing this, you ought not go to hell till in the morning. You ought to go tonight before the sun comes up. You can't leave here tonight and say, I've never heard the gospel. You've heard it tonight. The gospel is not the death and the burial. That's not the gospel. The gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection. I'd like to throw nothing in there, the coming of the Lord, amen. You can't ever say you've never heard the gospel. You've heard it tonight. 100%. Let's bow our head, please. Let's bow our head, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Quietly, reverently. In just a moment, the song leader is going to be singing the invitation. But I wonder how many here tonight would say, Brother Hatch, if I could go to heaven and know it, I'd like to know it. Would you mind breathing a prayer for me? Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. I'm not really sure tonight of heaven. If I were to draw my last breath, I'm not sure of heaven. And if I could go to heaven and know it, I'd like to know it. Please pray for me. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Let me pray for you quickly. Slip it up. Thank you. How many here tonight? Brother Hatch, I'm saved. I know it. But I'll be honest with you. I haven't been living right. And I need your prayers tonight. I haven't been living right. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. So many hands. My, so many hands. How many others? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many others? I haven't been living right. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Thank you. How many here tonight say, I'm not a member of this church, but I've been thinking seriously about it. Pray with me about it. Lift your hand. Not a member, but I've been thinking about it. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Thank you. I want everybody to stand quietly and reverently, please. Everybody stand. No one looking around. I want to ask you the question. Please be honest, and you have every night. You've cooperated so wonderful. But how many here tonight will be honest and say, Brother Hatch, my family and I, we haven't been treating him right. We haven't been treating him right. And I want you to pray for us. Maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you haven't been having family altar. I don't know what it is. Maybe you haven't been tithing. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. That's between you and the Lord. But how many would say, we haven't been treating him right? Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Oh, so many hands. So many hands. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to be lady enough, gentleman enough. Every one of you that lifted your hand and you that did not but should have, to make your way to this altar. Daddy, you need to get a hold of that wife's hand. If you have any children, you need to get their hand. You need to bring them down tonight and make new commitments to Christ. Make new commitments to him of how you've been treating him and the way you're going to treat him. Dear Lord Jesus, I've tried my best to lift you up tonight. And you said if I be lifted up, you draw all men. And dear Lord, I don't know. I don't know how you could be lifted up any more than I've lifted you up tonight. Lord, I brought you from heaven to earth, and born of a virgin, lived for 33 years, your death, your burial, your resurrection, and your coming back. I don't know how I could make it any clearer in lifting up the Son of God than I have tonight. So Lord, may families May families come. Lord, this has been a revival meeting, and it still is. And I pray that whole families will come and say, yes, our family is going to make new commitments tonight. And we'll thank you for it in your precious name. While he sings the invitation, you come right now. Sing it, please. Come on, leave your seats and come. Come on.
All to Jesus
I surrender.
Surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Amen.
I surrender all. I surrender all.
Sing it again.
All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
God speaking to hearts, just sing it again. Come on. Come on, Daddy. Come on, Mama. Come on, family. Come on, young lady. Come on. That's right. Listen to it.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
And dear Lord Jesus, this has been a sweet time. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, every night you fill the altars. And Lord, I know that what revival is God's people being revived. And Lord, I believe this is one of the most scriptural revivals because we've seen your people been blessed. They've turned around, had new directions. And Lord, tonight, as we've witnessed tonight, Lord, I want to be the first. Lord, help me and my family to treat you better than we've ever treated you. We give so little for you to give so much. We love you so little for you to love us so much. And dear Lord, I still pray for that man and that dear lady and that boy and that girl that you will bring them tonight to the foot of the cross. And we'll thank you and praise you in your precious and wonderful name. Lord, these that's come making new commitments, may they leave here tonight saying, Lord, this message was for me. Others, dear Lord, in the pews that will go home tonight and start treating you different than the way they've been treating you. And we'll thank you. Sing one more verse and the pastor will come. Sing one more verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior.